Thanks, guys. So before we get started, I appreciate everyone who's here today. Does anyone have a cell phone on them? Uh-oh. All right, just checking. You can turn the audio up or down. I don't care. It's being hacked while we speak. But speaking of being hacked, I want to just show you guys. Fox News had a little incident. It happens to all media outlets. This was live on Fox. It was a couple of years ago. So if people say, are they hacking the media networks? If we can get the audio up, Scott, we can show them that Anonymous actually got on to... Oh, not my audio. Anonymous got onto Fox News. Did you guys see that?
The American people, by propagating the left-right false dichotomy.
I actually like this
about the fear more than who they were interviewing. By exaggerating the threat of terrorist attacks.
So I hate to be hacked like Fox was. So I'm going to ask Scott to unhack me, bring me back to my slides. Thank you guys so much. And Guy, thank you for having me here. You know, CDSA talks a lot about protecting your IP. If you're streaming videos and you don't want it hacked, you'll learn a lot by joining Guy's organization. And what I'm here to talk about is really how did that guy hack into Fox? How did Sony Pictures get breached, right? And I even have some little prizes for people. They geolocate you. They got batteries, satellite. You're going to love it. Okay, so my bio's on the screen. You've heard enough about me. Let me move us forward. Okay, so if you don't think you're a target of a breach and you're actually a smaller organization in the TV industry, you are a target. If you have 1,000 employees or less, that is the underbelly, the sweet spot, the hot spot for hackers. Does anyone know why, you know, you hear about the Yahoo breach, but a smaller organization breach is better for hackers to do? Anybody want to raise their hand and give me an idea? Why would you want to breach someone small instead of somebody big? Anybody? Go ahead, sir. Because it's easier and they pay less attention to their own security. All right, I'm going to juggle here. You get a prize. Hold on. This is very special. Check this out. This is an anti-Illuminati pin. It's really cool. Yeah. So smaller organizations, if I hack someone with 1,000 employees or less, it's easy to get in. How many records can I get? Well, maybe Anthem had 1,000 employees or less, but they had 80 million records that were easily hacked or stolen. Did anyone hear about the Anthem breach? How about OPM.gov, 22 million records? I don't know how many employees are there, but it's probably not a large group. But if you're small, you may actually have a lot of personally identifiable information that's exploitable. And if you're small, you're easier to hack because you didn't spend a lot of money like Bank of America. And if you're a TV station, like TV5, Monde, you know, with the breach in April, you heard about in France, these hack attacks they're starting to go after media. And I'm going to show you more slides on that, but your industry is very well secured to get in a building, right? You get to the building, I want to be on CBS to talk about how phones are hackable, which I did a really cool episode on, and the front door is locked, and I got to press a button and get buzzed in. Then the security guard says, let me see your license, let me make sure you have a meeting, let me call someone for you, let me give you a special badge. You're going to go through a turnstile with another person and slide that visitor thing in. Then you're going to go to another room, and they're going to press some codes, and they're going to open a door for you. So all this physical security. Meanwhile, just like Sony Pictures Entertainment, not picking on Sony if you're here today, but there's a good example for educational purposes, okay? I have a long disclaimer. Sony cannot sue me because I'm saying this for educational purposes. Anyway, Sony's Pictures breach. It was an email attachment, and somebody opened it, and they got infected. And was the infection in front of the security guard? No, it was behind the security guard. So physical security is not enough anymore. Moving along. Okay, so Daffy Duck, right? Does anyone see the bullet holes in the wall? Everybody's network is a sitting duck, and I'm going to show you why today. I'm going to show you secrets of why your network is a sitting duck. Okay? And one of the biggest problems that I've found is that breaches are so expensive that you actually, if you're a small organization, you can be put out of business. Now, maybe you're part of a bigger TV network like Hearst Media, and the boss has a lot of money to help out and says, okay, all right, we'll take care of that. But how much was it? $3 million? And how much did we pay in ransomware? There was a hospital in New Hampshire that got breached recently, and that hospital had to pay $300,000 to unlock their network from the Lockheed ransomware. $300,000. If the word got out when that was happening, I wouldn't want to go to that hospital in the emergency ward. They called the FBI. What do you think the FBI said to them about the ransomware? Pay it. If they didn't pay it, what do you think their legal fees would be if somebody died on an operating room table because the doctor couldn't get at the database on what to do, right? I mean, I don't know how the medical network is working in that hospital, but I would hope that it's up and running, not encrypted by hackers asking for bitcoins, right? So this is a problem that we deal with in all industries. And so you might say, well, I haven't seen many hacks on our industry. Why are we a target? You are a sitting duck. You have great physical security, poor network security. And I'm not making fun of your CIO. The CIO in your industry will normally know a lot about media and about how to deal with television information. But if you ask them, are you an expert? Do you have a CISSP? Do you know a lot about how hackers do spear phishing? The CIO doesn't have that on their resume in your industry yet. That's one of the challenges. So the average cost of a breach is pretty high. Someone's hacking my Wi-Fi. Can you guys forward the slide? I'll let you guys do it for me. I'll just ask you to forward it. It's easier, then I can throw pins at people. Okay, so how vulnerable is sensitive data? It's very vulnerable. Sony Pictures had 4 movies that were stolen. Does anyone know who stole those movies? Anonymous? No. Nobody knows. I know who it was. Let me describe the situation. So in June or July, before the movie The Interview comes out, President Obama receives a letter from the ambassador of North Korea. And the letter says, "Dear Mr. President of the United States, please have Sony stop producing a movie about murdering or assassinating our world leader here, because he's a god. He's amazing. He rides unicorns. And he's got a great hairdo. So don't let that movie go out." And of course, President Obama ignored that. I love Hollywood. I'm not going to mess with Hollywood. So there was no stopping of the interview. So then another month later, they said, "Look, we're going to do something about it if you don't get that movie off the books at Sony." Then what happens? Sony gets hacked, and terabytes of data leave the building. 4 movies, including Annie, which wasn't released yet, and other movies, and it really affected the company. And the malware, I got a hold of the malware, and the malware was written on the Red Star operating system. Does anyone here know, just raise your hand if you know where the Red Star operating system was developed? You, sir? North Korea. Woo! All right, Red Star operating system, North Korea. Now, the malware was designed to attack South Korea's banking infrastructure and to attack South Korea's media networks, which worked a few years earlier. Same piece of malware written in the Korean language on a North Korean-developed operating system. I kind of had a feeling, a small sinking suspicion, that it was the DPRK cyber army. So, and you know, the packet trace, according to the FBI, goes back to Chinese, welcome my friends from China, Ni hao ma. China loans North Korea some IP addresses. Does anyone know how many IP addresses North Korea has on the public internet? Anybody guess? No, they have about 100. But that's good. But they have to go somewhere, and they go through China. So they borrow IP access from the Chinese telecom. So the Chinese telecom IP addresses that connect to North Korea is where the malware was sent from. I just have a sinking suspicion it was the North Korean government who hacked Sony Pictures. And how did it happen? Somebody clicked a link. That's all they did. They clicked a link in an email, and they got infected with what? Anybody know? It's a 3-letter acronym. They don't have many here. They have them in the sewers of New York. RATS, Remote Access Trojans. Okay. All right, let's move on. So insider threats are real, but I'm not blaming the employee who clicked the link, right? We don't blame the employee at Yahoo who clicked the link and lost how many records? 1 billion? We don't blame the employee at Anthem who clicked the link and lost 80 million records. And, you know, the CIO of Anthem was interviewed, and they said to the CIO of Anthem, "So how sophisticated was this attack on your network, 80 million records?" And the CIO of Anthem said, "It was a very sophisticated attack." Well, what did they do? Well, they sent a link in an email, and somebody clicked it. That's sophisticated today. And how many records did you lose? 80 million. And were the records stored at rest encrypted? No. So these are some tips I'm going to give you today. So it's not just employees who are bad. It's employees who accidentally trust someone and they click a link. Take a look at the broadcaster attacks. These are on the rise. You can get a copy of my slides, I think grantsamples@nab.org, or just come see us at our booth and we'll make sure you get these slides. But you'll see that the attacks on media outlets are on the rise. So Grant Samples of NAB said, hey Gary, we really want to start a cybersecurity pavilion, work with CDSA, get you in here and talk about how breaches happen and how we can stop them. And I think he's a great guy. If you ever meet him here, say, hey Grant, you're thinking ahead. Because physical security on a TV network is not enough anymore. So these are some sample breaches that happened recently, and it's too hard to read, so we'll keep moving on. Okay, so there's Jack Black telling you that knowledge is power. Check out cdsaonline.org. You should join their group. Guy will happily tell you all about what they do. And if you don't hear from him when I'm done, you'll hear from him tomorrow and the next day. And just kidding. But they're a great group, and what they'll do is they'll educate you about some other risks that I'm not going to talk about today, which is really, like, if you're the new Netflix and you've got all this, you know, all this data, and it turns out to be movies, you don't want them to be stolen, right? How do you protect your IP? Moving along, we've got, my site, snoopwall.com/media. Cyberdefensemagazine.com is free. It's a free magazine. Anybody can get a copy. Every month, you get to read cyber warnings for free. And they'll tell you all about, you know, how do you deal with malware? What's the best way to store your keys? All the kind of things if you're serious about security, which is why you're here in the pavilion today. I thank you for coming. Check out the magazine. It's free, no hooks, no strings. And on my LinkedIn articles, okay, who here believes that the Russians changed your vote during the election? I'm telling you, there was a wave of energy. It hit me. I was at the booth going for Hillary, and then suddenly, and I heard Bill in my head. Don't vote for my wife. You got to vote for Trump. You got to do it. You got to do it. And then suddenly I started speaking in Russian. Hello. I like Trump. I was hacked by the Russians. Seriously. In 2014, the Federal Election Commission said, read my articles. This is kind of cool. The Federal Election Commission said, we don't want any voting equipment on the internet. Why is that? Because it's hackable. And Virginia was hacked in 2014 because they had Windows running Wi-Fi on their voting equipment. Don't ask me, you know, 95, I think, Windows 95. So hackers got in and affected the election. The FEC got involved and said, we don't want any elections in any state online. So if the Russians hacked our election, I don't understand how they actually changed votes. But maybe they affected our mindset. Maybe the media industry got involved, right? I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet. But they certainly did not move my hand on the dial. Okay, are you guys ready for the secrets? These are secrets. I've never shown these to anyone anywhere before except last month, the month before that at 3 trade shows. These are secrets no one's ever seen at NAB. Here, get your notes, get your camera, take pictures. I have an expert who can validate. Here it is, the secret formula to securing media networks. Okay, I'm gonna stay here for a minute. I'm going to explain. Nobody leave. It's easy. This is an easy formula. I met a guy, friends with Steve Jobs. He told me there's an easy way to explain this formula. You guys ready? All right, let's go on. And keep going. I wouldn't do that to you. That's not the secret formula. That's the secret formula for Coke. Did anyone copy it? I'm in trouble. They're going to sue me. Moving on. Okay. Secret number one I already brought up earlier today. Great physical security in the media networks. Great physical security. Poor network hygiene. Do you have laptops coming and going? Raise your hand and be honest. Come on. Are you half asleep? I'm not putting you to sleep. I'm talking like Bill Clinton. Everybody's falling asleep. Okay. Does anyone have a smartphone here today? Yes. Is anyone tired and not want to raise your hand? Okay. It's working. Good. I have their attention. So let's move on. So behind your secure physical doors, we have to improve network security. And secret number two is you believe that your firewall and your antivirus work. I'm going to give you a website to visit today if you have time. Don't go to the casino gambling. Just try this. It's fun. VirusTotal.com. Grab that email attachment that you so want to open, like Sony Pictures did or Yahoo. Don't open it. Put it on your desktop. That's that email attachment we might call a remote access Trojan or ransomware. Then upload it to virustotal.com. Virustotal.com runs 58 of the world's greatest antivirus scanners for free. For free. Always up to date. And what do you think those 58 scanners are going to tell you about that attachment? Is it going to say malware? Most of them will say it's a good file. Go ahead and open it. So antivirus cannot keep up with malware. Does anyone know how many pieces of malware are in the wild today? Anyone? Is it as big as our deficit? Not yet. Anybody? Pieces of malware in the wild? Nobody? I got more pins. Okay, so there's probably 50 to 100 billion samples of malware. Do you think your antivirus scanner can scan 50 to 100 billion samples? Do you know what would happen to that PC he's using to project this right now if he had an AV scanner scanning for 50 billion samples of malware? We call it the blue screen of death. Okay, so that's not good enough. Antivirus and firewalls aren't good enough. Where did the Yahoo breach happen? In front of the firewall or behind the firewall? Anybody? Somebody raised their hand. Come on. Somebody. Oh. All right. I don't want to throw this over. Awesome. Will you pass it on? He's awesome, by the way. Acumen, he's got the greatest phones I've ever seen. The guy in the front. Here, check him out. Amazing. So it happened behind the firewall. So if the firewall's there, what did it do? It didn't stop the breach. Let's move on for our next secret. Okay. So you need to focus on where attacks happen. They're happening on the trusted assets behind the firewall. I mean, it's obvious to me, but who knows? Spear phishing, remote access, number one form of malware. Name a breach you can think of. It was a spear phishing attack, and it was a remote access Trojan, a big breach. Yahoo, spear phishing, remote access Trojan. OPM.gov, spear phishing, remote access Trojan, and the Chinese government got a lot of records. If I want my medical records, I have new friends from China. It's free. And, you know, by the way, you don't have to do daily backups anymore. You don't. You just call the NSA and you say, how do I do a FOIA request for my hard drive? They got it. But seriously, no, this is really important. Spear phishing and remote access Trojans are the worst form of malware. So what could you do without spending any money to stop spear phishing and rats? Don't spend a dime. What could you do? Anybody? Educate your people. That's a good one. I might have some for you later. My business card, it's like a ninjutsu weapon. You'll love it. Go ahead. Stop using email. What if there was a guy from Box who presented here, right? What if you covertly said, hey, friends, let's transfer files on Box. I'm never going to open an email attachment again. We have a secret Box account with a secret password. We discuss it on the phone that hopefully not infected with malware. And then the files are shared in a private way securely, right? And you can run it through VirusTotal for free. Now, what if your email went to text-only mode? Would that really suck? So you can go into Outlook and say, I only want to receive text-only email with one click. You will never get a remote access Trojan ever again. Just one click in Outlook, text-only email. Is that easy? Secret. Okay, let's keep going. 11 minutes, and I only have, what, four more secrets? I better slow down. All right, I'm going to do a Bernie Sanders impression. You ready? So I was in New Hampshire, and Bernie Sanders was there. This is for real. This is for real. And this woman from WMUR9, she's interviewing Bernie Sanders, and she goes, Senator Sanders, what should the minimum wage be? And he got all excited, right? And his head goes down, his arms go up, and he goes, the minimum wage? Nobody can live on less than $15 an hour. $15 an hour. I thought I was watching Larry Sanders. Larry, what's his name? Larry David. So then she goes, great follow-up question. How much are you paying your interns? $9.25. For real. This happened. All right, I ate up a few minutes. Secret number four. Raise your hand if you do daily backups. Come on, people. Do you do daily backups? Be honest. There's a man. Now I'm going to ask a tough question. When's the last time you tested your daily backups? This guy's awesome. Okay, you get a prize. Come to my booth. You definitely get a prize. Okay, so if you try a daily backup with some service, Carbonite or someone, great. If you got a ransomware attack and that computer's infected, what do? Isolate it, get it off the network, wipe the drive, and restore the daily backup. That employee may have lost something they were working on, maybe the script for the TV series or whatever, but you've saved the whole network and you didn't pay the ransomware. So when you call the FBI, you say, guess what, we didn't pay the ransomware. How'd you do that? We gotta tell other people this. Well, we do backups, and we test our backups. This is a secret? I know. Okay, moving on. So, terabytes of data. What if the 4 terabytes of data at Sony Pictures, what if those 4 terabytes were encrypted with AES 256-bit encryption using, write this one down, TrueCrypt version 6. You didn't hear me say that. TrueCrypt version 6, not 7. It's free. It's open source. You can make a USB stick encrypted. You can encrypt your whole hard drive with TrueCrypt version 6. If the NSA's here, they're going to take me out of the building soon. TrueCrypt version 6 is very hard to hack. It's free. So if you could just encrypt the data, a movie you're working on, the movie script, a patent you're working on, if that ever gets stolen and the hackers don't have the keys, what do they have? What do they have? Anybody? Nothing. They get a blob of data. They got to ship it to somebody who knows how to hack encryption. And 10, 20 years later, Rumpelstiltskin says, I still can't get in. Sorry, long beard. Okay, moving on. Secret number 6. I might finish early for Q&A. Okay, so there's 3 systems we're describing here. Guy, did you write these slides for me? Where is he? Guy, what's a risk management system? Okay. So a risk management system is something that manages risk. So behind your firewall, if there's a way to manage risk, you can reduce the risk of having a breach. Somebody earlier said educate your employees, right? In risk management, we start thinking about assets. People are assets. Computers are assets. So what is good risk management? Managing those assets properly and reducing risk that they will be infected. Don't click links anymore in emails, people. But it came from the CEO. You know, Rupert Murdoch said, open the file right now. No, it wasn't really him. Trust me. So risk management is important. Intrusion prevention. Now, where are these intrusions happening? Are they happening in front of the firewall or behind the firewall? They're happening behind the firewall. So you want to do intrusion prevention behind the firewall because just like you have a security guard who lets people in after he trusts them, employees let files in that they trust by accident. And as I get to the last slides, I always lose my voice. I do just jump right into a really good Bill Clinton. So anyway, I did not have inappropriate relations on your network. I was breathing in, but I did not inhale. I did not inhale. Passed the joint, breathed in, but I did not inhale. She's like, I don't believe him. Okay, so what's a risk management system? It's something that reduces risk. I'm going to show you a secret formula. What's an intrusion prevention system? It's something that prevents intrusions. What's a network access control box or breach prevention system? Something that prevents breaches. So these are the kinds of products, services, tools, people you want to talk to. Can you help me manage risk? Do you stop breaches? Do you know how to manage control and access to my network? Okay. They showed you the formula. I know you showed them the formula. Don't go to the next... too late. Go back quick. Does anyone know the formula to risk management? Anybody here? You had a secret shot. Come on. R equals T times V times A. Risk equals threats times vulnerabilities times assets. So, are people assets? Anybody? Are people? Yes, right? Are computers and smartphones and tablets assets? Are the VoIP phones on the network assets? Is the cleaning company coming in the building with a rogue laptop an asset? If they're plugging it into the VoIP phone switchboard and getting on your TV network, are they an asset on your network? Yes, but they're rogue. They're a threat. And you have a vulnerability. You have an open port on your VoIP phones, right? So you've got to start managing risk by counting what kind of threats are going to exploit us, right? And what is the value of a threat? So the cleaning company is a high threat. So you want to have background checks. You want to have, you know, bonding and insurance. And this actually happened to a few banks. I was at a Canadian conference, and one of these Canadian mounting police officers on cybersecurity said, the cleaners, and I'm not picking on Brazil, I love Brazilians, the cleaners from Brazil had a relative who was kidnapped. And the Brazilian hackers said, if you don't put that computer on the network, we're going to kill your relative. And that's how they broke into the bank and stole money from a Canadian bank. Somebody trusted, behind the firewall, with a rogue device, plugged into the network, and had some malware on it, and it was a threat. And the remote access Trojan gave the hackers access. Did that cleaner know a thing about network access or using computers to hack? No, they just had to plug it in. So there's assets, people, devices, and there's vulnerabilities. So the other day, and I could show you at our booth, our pod, the other day, I got a Windows offer from Microsoft. Anybody get this? Windows 10 is free. Upgrade, upgrade, upgrade. Why? Does anyone know why Windows 10 is free? Windows 10 is a fix? It's a drug. Oh, they fixed the holes? It's a drug. Once you get it, it's free, but you're addicted, right? Anyway, it's always causing me problems, so I wondered why. So I looked at Windows 10 to see what vulnerabilities it has. Microsoft reinstalled Remote Help Desk Protocol without my permission. They reinstalled the administrator and guest accounts without my permission. And does anyone know what the passwords are for those two accounts? Administrator and guest. Thank you, Bill Gates. He can get into my computer right now. There's nothing of value for him. But anyway, I digress. Vulnerabilities are holes or windows or doors that we accidentally leave open. Has anyone thought about the Internet of Things? Are you buying camera equipment with IP addresses or gadgets for your radio station with IP addresses? Does anyone have a smartwatch with an IP address? How about your refrigerator? One day your refrigerator is going to say to you, sorry, the door is locked. I have been hacked. Please pay 3 bitcoins to the following person. The food is now spoiling. Okay, has anyone heard about the cars that are now Internet of Things? Tesla, Uber, Google? They tested autonomous driving, and what happens when those devices get hacked? They crash. How do these Internet of Things get hacked? They have inherent vulnerabilities. There's no security by design. You can go to opengarages.org, download a free book on how to hack cars. I'm not suggesting you do it, but if you're into autonomous cars, you might want to know what your holes are, and they're there. Those are vulnerabilities. And finally, what are the latest threats? I want to make sure people are awake. I know the Clinton boys put me to sleep. Anybody here remember what I said about the worst threats? No? Anyone? The worst threats, the worst exploitation in the world. How did they break into Sony Pictures? Spearfishing and a rat, a remote access Trojan. So those are threats that are affecting you and you don't even know. FireEye says that the average rat discovery takes 278 days. Nobody's looking hard enough. So if you have a vulnerability, a person willing to click a link, you will be exploited. Does that make sense? So use the risk formula. Risk equals threats times vulnerabilities times assets. And if you can lower your risk, you're going to have less chance of being breached or exploited, and it won't cost a lot of money. The last thing before we do Q&A, I would ask people, please, go to your boss, go to the board, go to the CEO, and say, we're probably already breached. I have no idea, but I've heard that this happens a lot. I think it's time we take risk management seriously, and we start reducing our risk before what happened to Fox News with the anonymous on the air happens to us, or the Sony Pictures breach, or the Yahoo breach that reduced Yahoo's valuation by a huge number. Let's go to the next slide. So there's my summary. I want you guys to leave here today as InfoSec rock stars, right? You are information security rock stars. We'll leave the slide up, take your pictures of it, go to the executives and say, this should not be afterthought. Would you like to get in an airplane that could be crashed by the passenger side? No. But Boeing has an exemption. Go to FAA.gov. Read the exemption on the 777. It's pretty scary. It says the entertainment center is not bifurcated from the ailerons. Oops. The network to control the ailerons is connected to the entertainment center where the passengers are. So last year, I think in January or February, a hacker read that, got on a 777, which has internet access, moved the wings, rocked the plane, and went out and tweeted it, put it on Facebook, and was arrested by the FBI when the plane landed. And he said, I'm not a bad guy. I was just trying to prove this vulnerability exists. So you got to use this formula. We all have vulnerabilities. And you should stand up for equipment that you're buying to be security by design inherent. Ask for the vendor. What are you doing about patches? What are you doing about vulnerabilities? How do you deal with a hole? What if a hacker breaks in? Would you even put a program out there for me? Where, you know, you do like a bug bounty, give you $1 million if you break into my equipment. That's a good thing because it'll cost you a lot more when there's a breach. Okay, last slide, I think. You guys are about to become InfoSec rock stars.
Dun, dun,
no,
dun.
That, all right. And, oh, Jeb Bush asked me to put this slide up. Followed by loud mandatory applause. Followed by loud mandatory. Thank you. Thank you very much.